right, we are back with another episode on the Come On Dude podcast, and we're going to start things off a little bit differently here today. So, Booby and Zabo, I've got a little bit of like Packers trivia for you. The first thing being is the chant "Go Pack, Go." It's actually not that. It's not the original chant. Do you know when that chant? I guess not when, but do you know what the original chant actually is for the Packers?
No. Can't say I know.
No clue.
The actual chant is actually "Go, you Packers, go." And that was the first, or like one of the first things in the NFL for like team mantras that I found out. So I thought that was pretty interesting when you talk about the Packers, because considering we're all Packers fans, but you know, we're back. Another episode. How are we doing?
Doing good. Had a good weekend. Didn't do a lot. Went to the first ever hockey game at Pfizer Forum on Sunday. That was cool. Well, not first ever hockey game, first NHL game, I should say. Knew it was preseason, but still, nonetheless, good time. $120. Go wild.
Zabo, how are we doing?
Yeah, I had a good weekend. Didn't really do much. Shout out to Brett Graves. Hung out with him. Not too much, though.
All right, perfect. You know, we're just talking a little bit of things in sports today. Right. Basketball season starting to ramp up here. We're going to start hearing a lot more stories about the NBA season coming up and things like that. First things first, the Celtics signed Blake Griffin. And we talked about Gallo tearing his ACL. They obviously found a different guy to replace him for this upcoming season.
Yeah. I mean, do you think Blake Griffin's like a piece anymore? Like, he didn't really play at the end of his tenure with the Nets. Like, I don't know.
I don't necessarily think he's like a major piece. But I think just, you know, having a name, you know, I know Melo wasn't as good back or isn't as good in his later years, but it's still a name and it's going to draw some attention. So you're going to hear about it. Tyler Hero, Wisconsin born and raised, massive contract extension, 4 years, $130 million. No one thought he'd be here. Look at him now.
Yeah, he's come a long way since I remember me and Max traveled to go watch him play AAU ball at Homestead. And you could tell he's different. I don't think I ever envisioned him being a lottery pick. And now I didn't envision him being a borderline all-star. And he's there. So, I mean, I don't really know the limit anymore. I mean, kid's unbelievable.
Yeah, Zach, I mean, considering the contract number, do you think he'll be worth that in the upcoming years?
I mean, is he starting now over Duncan?
I'd imagine.
I mean, yeah, he can average. I mean, what? How much is that worth, like, points per game, like 18 to 20?
I mean, I think that you're going to expect more out of him because he's only going to get better. He's young. But I think just this day and age with contracts and the cap's obviously going up, like, guys are just going to naturally get paid more and more. Like, I mean, you think of a guy like Chris Middleton and how much money he's making. Maybe like that kind of role, that kind of impact on a roster.
I mean, he's averaging 20 points. He's borderline all-star, sixth man of the year. He can shoot the ball, and I think the way the NBA is going, you're just going to trend that way. And, you know, once you find something, you're not going to want to get rid of it. So, NFL news, Javonte Williams. We'll get into this a little bit as we talk about our games, but he's tore his ACL. He's out for the year. Really tough look for the Broncos, who are struggling as of late.
Yeah, I feel bad for the kid. I heard that he was only 22 years old today, which I thought was wild, which means that he came into the league super young. But obviously, you hope he can come back full strength. I heard it was an ACL, PCL, I believe. So pretty extensive damage, but tough injury to come back from. I think that's what J.K. Dobbins was dealing with, but J.K. Dobbins had a huge week last week, so, I mean, you just hope the guy comes back and he can give all he got on the field like he was.
Yeah, I think he'll be all right. I mean, dude's 22. Plenty of players have come back from it and been fine. Saquon looks like he's 100% again, so that's cool.
Yeah, and with how well other people have done with coming back from these ACL injuries and advanced medicine, I think he'll be all right too. Just sucks he's gone. Tua, no timetable for his return, officially listed as out. You would assume so considering the injuries that came forth, but no timetable for return. I'm really curious to the extent of this injury and how it's going to play out.
Yeah, I mean, that was really scary to watch. I mean, we were recording while it happened, so like I didn't even see it until I saw the video on Twitter after. But I mean, I think the whole concussion the week before type deal, like, I don't want to say necessarily he was concussed. I think it would have been noticeable if you like, yeah, he was like stumbling and whatnot after the play when he got hurt against the Bills. But like, I don't know if concussion, like he might've just got rattled a little bit. But I mean, nonetheless, he played on Thursday. And I think any hit like that would have really messed somebody up. So just sucks to see. Hope he comes back soon. Obviously, we hope for his health as a person before his health as a football player. So hopefully he's all right and it's not anything that affects him the rest of his life.
Yeah, I think he's probably going to be out for probably all of October. I don't see how you can throw a guy out there after seeing him fence like that after the hit. Probably a good idea to give him a couple extra weeks just to be more than safe.
Yeah, so we'll wait to see what happens with Tua later on in the year in Fantasy Impact. Brian Robinson, I believe he's a rookie. I could be wrong. But for the, I almost said Washington football team, the Commanders, is actually medically cleared to play after getting in an incident earlier this year involving gunshot wounds. So this is going to be interesting to see how this plays out in fantasy. We'll talk about it more when we break down our games and stuff like that, because some things came up in the chat earlier this week that we'll talk about. But, I mean, he looks like he's close to coming back.
Just to give you an answer to something you're questioning there, he is a rookie. I know there's talks of him being the starter coming out of training camp before the injury. I'm not even sure what happened in that situation, but it's good to see that he's coming back to the field here in the early half of the year. I don't know what kind of player he is. I have no idea, but I know the guest that we have on the show later actually has him on his roster, and we'll see if he turns into a fantasy asset.
Yeah. I mean, I think for some players who are relying on Gibson as their running back one, there's going to be a lot of uncomfort coming up here. Washington's probably going to be a running back by committee. So I think Brian Robinson is going to be a good addition for the team to win games, but I don't think it's going to translate to fantasy.
Yeah, you could be looking at like a Rams situation with Akers and Henderson where like you don't even have a back that you could be starting on that team. So I don't know. We could be totally wrong too. It could be just a one-man show either direction. But anyways, I mean, we'll just have to see how it plays out.
Just good to see that he's healthy and medically cleared to play. We'll see what happens. So in our notes for this podcast, we have on here that Aaron Judge is still sitting at 61 home runs, but actually in the time that we were preparing for this episode, he actually just hit number 62 to go into quote-unquote first place in the AL for home runs in a season, not using steroids, but we all know what the real record is not whatever. But I mean, dude got the job done. It's done hanging over his head. He can go into the playoffs and just wreck.
Yeah, I mean, I actually had no idea that he just hit 62. That's super dope. I was kind of thinking it would be funny if he got stuck at 61. I didn't know if players were going to not be pitching at him. I mean, he's been walked a ton this year. So, I mean, anyways, that's cool. I mean, it's always cool. Like, I guess we don't really think about it in the moment how crazy we are to see records like this broken. So, I mean, it's cool to take a step back and, like, kind of realize that, like, during our lifetime, like, there's still guys that are making history in ways that a lot of people probably didn't expect another guy to hit 61 home runs, but nevertheless 62. So I think it's very dope.
Speaking of records, we've always been an Albert Pujols watch with, like, the home runs and things like that. He got 700. But, you know, we're talking to another league member that likes baseball a little bit, Jake Lang, and we're talking about how he is now second all-time in the RBI, so runs batted in category. So he passes Babe Ruth, first of all, which is like immaculate. You don't pass Babe Ruth and things. But there's nobody in the game right now that is, quote, on track to passing him in that RBI category or even getting close to that.
I mean, yeah, I mean, Pujols is the first ballot Hall of Famer, like no question about it. One of the best players to ever play, top five hitter of all time, no debate. I mean, the dude's been unbelievable since the minute he stepped into the league. So, I mean, I think it's super dope. Lang's had that role model his whole life in the way, and he's got to grow up watching him. I mean, he's been literally there his whole entire life. So it's been really cool to see him pass these records this year. Super sick. A lot of people counted him out. You could say he didn't write back, but yeah, no, super dope.
I thought he should play another year just because he's only like 70 away from breaking the all-time record. He's behind Hank Aaron right now. But we'll see if that happens. But this also got me like thinking, you know, next season we could possibly see LeBron pass the all-time points record in the regular season, and thinking about like, will that record ever get surpassed? And I think the only legitimate guy considering years played and the way they score is like Luka. I mean, who else is on track to get to that point total in their career?
Yeah, no, I mean, when LeBron does do that, I mean, there's not a lot else you can say about the guy. I mean, it's going to be amazing. I just am excited for basketball to get going. I mean, I'm imagining the episodes are going to get longer because we're going to want to dive into basketball. I already know it. So I'm looking forward to that week. The league starts in 2 weeks, I think. I think the 14th is opening night. So looking forward to it.
Well, yeah, so that's just kind of around the sports world today. We're going to dive into our league stuff here now again. We've always started off with our Doge Report. We're going to let him kind of give us a little insight of what's happening around the league, and then we'll give you some insight considering those things happening. So here's Doge.
Yeah, so for this week's Doge Report, we just got a few things, not much. Mitch actually made a trade, first trade of the year in the league. A very simplistic one, I will say, just a swap. Ezekiel Elliott for Kyle Pitts. Both third round picks. And yeah, I think that it's just kind of one of those that you're going to have to wait out and see. I know Mitch had Melvin Gordon on his bench, and with the Javonte injury, he probably felt free to move a guy that's been frustrating through the beginning. And same with Nick, another guy that, I mean, he had high hopes for this two tight end system to work. It clearly didn't. Already the experiment's over in 4 weeks, but yeah, I mean, Kyle Pitts, I mean, he's a great player, but fantasy so far in his career, it's been either great or really, really bad. So multiple people have been in talks with Joel. He's had a lot of people come across the phone and show him some offers. And obviously it hasn't resulted in a deal getting done, but definitely people hitting his line, which, I think the league in general has been pretty active. Obviously, I don't get everything sent my way, but I know for a fact that majority of the managers in this league have been at least looking around, or at least have had talks at some extent. Another one, I am shopping Keenan Allen. I will say I am shopping him. Not saying I'm going to trade him. I just believe I'm in a position where I've gotten to 3-1 without him. I believe I can keep winning without him. But if the right offer comes along, I'm not saying that it won't hurt me to get rid of him, but I just wanted to test the waters and see if I could strengthen other areas of my team or just upgrade at that position. So
I'm going to revert back and talk a little bit of like the trade I made, because I want to hear Zach's point of view. Zach has been a very vocal hater of Zeke. So there's one thing I just want to like talk about real quick, and here's Nick's reaction to the reason why he, you know, went through with the trade.
Initial thoughts on the trade: I need running backs, straight up. Look at my team. It's led by two guys, three on a good day. I needed someone. Arthur Smith is an idiot. Kyle Pitts should be getting the ball more. Mitch has a good team. He can take that kind of risk. I can't. I need something moving forward. I mean, ultimately, this trade is just Mitch and I offloading our baggage onto each other. I can't have Kyle Pitts, and he hates Zeke. So that's kind of where I'm at. Interested to hear what Zabo has to say about this trade, because he hates Zeke. So I feel like he's going to flame me. So, yeah, Zabo, flame me, pussy.
All right. I wish I could make this an interesting response, but the matter of the fact is both these players aren't interesting. Like, if anything, they're irrelevant. I mean, Kyle Pitts, talk about the hype train that just never came true. Dude's a monster. There's definitely potential there. I don't really see the value in Zeke, so like it just doesn't excite me.
I want to say that I'm not out on Kyle Pitts. Do I think that he's going to be a huge impact this year? No. I think things need to work out in Atlanta that are not working. It hasn't been working for years now since the 28-3. But I just feel like that one day he is going to be that tight end that goes in the second and third round in fantasy, and people are going to feel really, really good about him. I mean, simply, I just think that's just the case. And it's been tough for him the first 2 years. I was an owner of him last year, and I hung in the whole year. He still ended up with like almost 1,000 yards, if not. I think he wasn't a 1,000-yard receiver, but yeah, we'll find out.
I took it as, I don't know why, but we'll talk about it later. CEH has been playing good, so it is what it is. So I'm just kind of hoping that I can get some more point production out of Pitts and just ride other running backs. So that is what it is. But Doge, hey, thanks for your little breakdown there. We always appreciate your insight. Coming up here, we're going to introduce a league member that is going to be joining us for the remainder of the podcast. So stick with us while we introduce him here shortly.
All right. We now welcome on one of our most anticipated guests, in my opinion, one of the more fiery, passionate owners in this league, not afraid to air it out, no filter. He is a former league champion in 2020. The one, the only, Adam Berg. Adam, how are we doing tonight?
Dylan, thank you for that inspiring introduction. You know, thank you, Zach. Thank you, Mitch, for having me on, agreeing to meet with one of the definitely more malicious players, I guess. Yeah, I would say that's one way to put it.
Thanks for joining us, though, Berg. We're happy to have you.
Absolutely happy to be here.
All right. Well, starting off, this is actually a question from Mitch that I see on here, and I'm going to ask it first, but I'm going to question Mitch because I'll just say the question first. He wants you to explain your name in our league currently. Now, Mitch, before he answers that, have you not seen the video?
Obviously, if I'm asking about it, maybe I just bypassed it and didn't see it on the internet or you guys sending it. I don't get it.
So what I'm going to do is I'm probably going to insert the clip itself of the skit where he says his name. But Adam, go ahead and explain it.
Todd Royal, Smoochie Wallace, University of Miami.
Yeah, Mitch, that's pretty incredible. You don't know that. but yeah, I mean, Ty Royal Smoochie Wallace, he's one of the better players in the East First West Bowl. Out of Key and Peele, skit. honestly, one of my favorite names outside of Quattro. So it was really a toss up between the two.
Dude, I was over at a friend's house the other weekend, and we were literally like, What does your wife do if you have naming rights and you name your kid Quattro? Like, that's a sick name. I think, dude, it's sick.
Part of the honestly, one of the funniest things about those videos to me is just like their impersonations of like how they take on these personalities of these guys, like Ismatez Buckshank. It's just like they come up with these personalities and you can just tell like through the way that they say their names.
Also, an underrated part of the whole skit is the like if you could see the side profiles on the side of the screen, like they're like making different faces and shit. My personal favorite's DeVoyne shower handle. But anyways, Mitch, I'll let you get into some of your questions unless you have something to add.
I just wanted to add, okay, to not or hopefully save myself a little bit. I've seen those videos. My favorite is Jackson Flaxen Waxen.
Yep.
That's my favorite. Flaxen Waxen.
Yeah. I just haven't recalled Ty Royal Smoochie Wallace, but now I know.
And don't forget awesome. It, man.
Now I won't for sure. Yeah, so we've got a few questions for you here. Ty Royal, if you will. Just give us your best breakdown. That's all we're asking for. But so far into this season, who's got the best team and who's got the worst team, in your opinion?
Yeah, you know, I reevaluate that every single week. God, it's so tough, honestly, because it is really early. And, you know, you could be one of those guys. It's like, oh, you could be a points four guy. You could be a record guy. You could straight up just evaluate the players on the team and look at it from that approach. But, like, honestly, I'm going to say a few teams that are definitely on my radar for potential league winners this year. Obviously I'm always going to be in that list because I'm a hot, heated contender that you can basically never count out.
One but, and three.
Yep, we'll get into that. But I mean, dude, honestly, I think Jordan should probably have a better record than 1-3. I just think he's gotten, you know, the short end of the stick there on the points allowed. But I'm really liking Daenerys Targaryen as well. I think overall it's a well-rounded team. Another team actually that probably shouldn't be 1-3. Honestly, I will say that the league leaders right now are definitely some of the most fraudulent that I've come across in not just this league history, but fantasy history in general. I mean, Vert's at the top it's a misnomer. I mean, it doesn't make it a whole lot of sense on paper and surely doesn't make a whole lot of sense in conversation, but here we are. So, yeah, I mean, to answer your question in a long-winded way, I'd probably say it's Jordan, Mitch, and the last name that I wanted to mention was, it's Jackson with Dylan Scherf, just because I was going through it. And man, do I like his starting lineup. Like, I love it. But the one thing that has me on the fence about that team is just, I think that there's a lack of depth, especially at the running back position. And, you know, one of his guys goes down, McCaffrey, Zabo can chime in. He's made of glass. I think he's going to be, I mean, one injury is like, what is this team now? But I mean, like, if you look at the points for it, he puts up numbers. I mean, I love his starting lineup. Like, just how we'll see how he manages during bye weeks and if any injuries come up.
I just want to say I do appreciate the comments, and I'm well aware of the running back situation. But yeah.
Oh, I appreciate them as well. You know, being 1-3, it is what it is. We're not gonna say anything about it. We're just gonna keep going, and hopefully it works out.
Berg, first of all, how we doing? Shout out Hingle McCringleberry. You know, I can't help but notice you shouted out most of the 1-3 teams in the league. I can't help but think maybe you're saying like, hey, 1-3 teams still have a chance. I appreciate that. Keep everyone in the league on their toes. One name I'm surprised you didn't say was Chont. I mean, talk about a guy who got the most slander on draft day. And that dude's got a team. Like, they're balling. He's got the number one running back. I mean, Mike Evans comes back and dominates. He actually has a tight end that you should be worried about on his team. So, yeah, look out for Jones this year. Hopkins coming back in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. I mean, I like Jones's team. You know, Barkley, like you mentioned before, is definitely looking like his former self, which is definitely scary.
Well, Zabo, I mean, if you read – or listen to the question, it was the best teams, not who's good. So, but.
Well, yeah, I mean, and on that point, though, it's like, you know, you can't just take into account the guys that are on the roster. You got to take into account the guys that are in the back office. And Jones's abilities in the back office has been questionable in past years. So, you know, I'm not going to say that that's the reason why he's not in my top three list, but it's definitely a contributing factor.
So we've got Ty Royal. We've had the Renfro slot machine, all those good names. But in the past years, you know, playing fantasy football, specifically in this league, who's been your favorite player to have on your team?
I mean, this is an easy answer.
Dude, I mean, listen, I saw this question and I was thinking about several ways to answer it. Like, I feel like, honestly, the cop-out answer is like picking a guy from your championship season, which makes a whole lot of sense. Like, there's definitely guys on that roster that got me to that point. But I mean, as far as just electric guys that you can just totally get behind that everyone hates, kind of like a Zabo type move, is, dude, Hunter Renfro. I was really sad I didn't get him on my team this year. I didn't know. I forgot who got him. Maybe it was like Liam or something, but
Pilgrim.
Oh, it was Pilgrim. Yeah, dude. I was really hoping to keep that team name this year, but just didn't work out.
Booby, is that who you thought it was going to be?
No, I definitely thought Aaron Jones with the picture of him stiff-arming Jordan in the championship game. I mean,
yeah,
it's all-time league moment.
Dude, see, I looked back at that roster, and I was like, God, I mean, if there was somebody on that roster, it'd be Aaron Jones. I mean, honestly, if it weren't for just the unbelievable team name, it probably is Aaron Jones. But Renfro slot machines is just hilarious to me.
So you're known for the way you utilize words in everyday conversation, right? And to your point about people at the top, you know, being frauds, and it's been a running joke that you like to fleece people into trades, particularly one player. Why haven't you gone out and fleeced said player? We'll let you say his name if you want, considering your record thus far.
You know, I've always said in the past that I respect every player in this league. I think we got a lot of smart, competent team managers, team owners. And you know, I know I have that reputation that I try to take advantage of the little guy or the dumb guy. And honestly, I just think that I make good deals. I make good deals happen, and a lot of the times I'm able to, you know, help the guy that I'm trading with see the value in the trade that he really is getting when you do trade with me. I mean, that's the thing that I like. I'm a really equitable person. So when it comes to trades, I'm not trying to in quotes trade you. You know, it's an aggressive term for a podcast, but
fleeced.
Yeah, we'll go with fleece. But I mean, in general, I try to bring forward deals that will get done on both sides. And sometimes it takes, like, you know, helping a guy see the value in what he's getting. And some guys are more open to that sort of input than others, and you just end up trading with them more often. But that doesn't make them worse players.
All right. We'll leave him unnamed. You know, Joel, we just through the chat in last week's pod, you know, we talked about these wishy-washy rules, and, you know, Kamish felt like he was definitely thrown under the bus a little bit. And first thing, we all do appreciate everything you do for us, Kamish. So let's just get that out of the way first, you know, but like from the collusion police 3 years ago to basically creating the commissioner's council every year and making it a thing. I don't know if you did or not. I'm pretty sure you did, but you know, what are your thoughts on all these wishy-washy rules? As last week, we just had a foul, for lack of a better term, happen in the league, and it was handled. We talked about it on last pod, but what are your thoughts about all these quote wishy-washy rules from Joel?
Dude, here's the deal. I mean, listen, when there's precedent, and there is precedent for this situation, when there's precedent, then you got to go with precedent. And when it comes, like, it was so clearly explained. It was like, if you do this, then this is what the consequence will be. And I think a lot of players, they knew of that. And when this happened, it's like, oh, well, you didn't mean to do it, and blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, manage your team properly and it won't happen. And like, accept the consequence. I don't know why everyone's so quick about bringing things to a vote, bring things to a vote. It's like, no, these are set rules. If it's a set rule, there's no vote. The rule is the rule, and the consequence is the consequence. And that's that. It can't be gray. It can be no gray area. Otherwise, every single rule, every single thing is going to go to a vote. It's like, we can't have that. Like, there's got to be, it's just, we got to accept that as a league just to keep things rolling, keep things moving. And at the end of the season, if we want to change a rule, then we change a rule and we vote on it that way. But in midseason, you can't be doing that. Like, just is what it is. And that, and like, honestly, that's the same thing with the league punishment. First of all, I know everyone was like saying that I was really pushing the league council to make the choice, but it's like, again, that's another precedent thing. Like, league councils have done this in the past two seasons. I believe they come up with we like to get input from everybody, but in the end, it's like the league council that decides the punishment. There's no vote. Like, you don't get a vote. You got to be part of the league council.
I will say, you know, I'm a culprit of this too. Whenever Jordan Kamish does try to like lay the hammer down, there's pushback a lot, and it's from myself, other people, like, this is dumb, this is that. So to your point, I kind of agree with you. There needs to be a precedent set, you know, that like maybe the league council, but whatever the commish, you know, decides, we are in this league for this reason. And we've got to just uphold those precedents and things that we are going to vote on before the season, not during it. So
I will add that the commission isn't exempt from precedent either. Like, they can't, like, the commission can't just be like, can't just change the rule because he's the commission. Like, if there's precedent, then like, he also needs to be there needs to be an overarching, like, all powerful guide, kind of like the Constitution, right? Where it's like, yes, you are the commission, the president, you know, for lack of a better comparison, but that doesn't mean that you, like, that doesn't mean that you don't have to follow the law, right? Presidents have to follow the law. So
just lastly, real quick, before we kind of get into our week four recap, you know, we had a side conversation after week number three, and we'll keep that confidential between ourselves, but how confident are you that you will not be in this year's Garbage Bowl? Now, you just got your first win this week. Congrats. But how are you feeling about the whole year, you know, with injuries on your team and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, frankly, I mean, this past week was the worst injury week that I've had. And I've had horrendous injury weeks this entire, I mean, every game, every week. And this was the worst. And I still squeaked out a win. And honestly, it was a factor. I mean, I know we'll get into the game breakdowns later, but it was a factor of really, you know, digging in the heels and looking for the value on the waivers and just replacing guys. I mean, dropping Stafford and adding Goff, like, that was a literal trade in a past season from one team to the other. And I just did the reversal of that in fantasy, and it paid off huge. And now Mitch has him on his team. Good luck with that. I see no value there. He was way, way overhyped preseason, and if you look at him play, I mean, like, he's not going to get you fantasy points.
Which guy are we talking about?
We're talking about Matt Stafford.
And I don't think I have him on my team. Did I accidentally?
Oh, did I say Mitch? I meant Nick.
Oh, okay.
Nick's
okay.
Definitely got him. But yeah, I mean, to get back to your question, how confident am I in avoiding the Garbage Bowl? Yeah, I'm very confident. Very confident. I think my guys are going to get healthier and healthier as these weeks go on. I like my team on paper. I like my team when they're healthy. And, you know, if I'm squeaking out wins when half of my fucking team is out and I'm wavering these guys and pulling out W's, yeah, I'm confident.
Fair enough. Well, you know, Berg's going to stay with us the rest of the podcast here. So we appreciate those answers and questions we have for you. He's going to stay with us, chime in on some league things happening, and then week breakdown. But before we get into that, it looks like something just came across Doge's desk that he kind of wants to break to the chat real quick.
Yeah, this happened in the middle of actually when we were all talking. We got a big trade involving a first-round draft pick. We got Joel House of the Lambs sending Devontae Smith and Najee Harris to the Piss Puppies, owned by Matt Wirtz, making moves early. He's sending Amari Cooper and Antonio Gibson. Crazy trade. I'll let you guys give your thoughts first.
I just thought it was crazy that we just got done talking about that. You know, people have been hitting Joel's line, and Joel's been pretty firm with his thoughts and feelings. And, you know, in our league breakdown for week four, we've got Najee Harris being in there, and now he's in a big-time trade. We just talked about Brian Robinson. Big-time trade happening with him, or not with him, but with his team that could impact, you know, this trade overall. To be honest with you, I don't know if you can give up on Najee like that, especially when they're changing quarterbacks. Maybe they're going to give him the ball a little bit more. That's my big thing. But with Devontae and Amari, I think that's kind of a natural swap.
So there goes the first-round pick off, like, in trades. And Joel said that the trade was for basically Amari Cooper, who has Jacoby Brissett at QB for the next 6 weeks. I've never seen anything like it. Like, I got to give Vertz the tip of the cap. Hell of a trade for Vertz. Vertz is coming. I like his team. Through and through.
Dude, I agree. And honestly, it's like, you really look at these guys, like Najee Harris, he's probably trending up. Antonio Gibson is trending down, in my opinion, with Brian Robinson coming back. I mean, if anything, he's going to eat a little bit of the points over the rest of the season. So, like, if you look at just the running backs alone, I mean, Vertz wins. And then the Devonta Smith and Amari Cooper to Zach's point, it's like, I think Vertz wins that too. It's like,
I don't know what Joel's doing. I guess what I have to say about this is I think overall it shows the level of where Joel thinks about Najee Harris right now. I mean, the Steelers are the toughest watch in football. I mean, their offense is completely – it's just not fun in any fantasy way. It's not unique. They're not doing anything special. I think something slept on is if Kenny Pickett is the quarterback – he had 2 rushing touchdowns this weekend. I think that's very noteworthy. He is not afraid to use his legs. I think that does take away from Najee a little bit more than people think that the quarterback change will help Najee's value. I don't know. Like, it's going to be a wait and see. I had Najee last year. He was great for me. I don't know. I think the passing utilization just kind of hasn't been there for him. And that's kind of what made him elite last year. Like, he was a top 5 back in fantasy last year for the majority of the year. But I don't know. I mean, if Najee stays put and is just putting up uninspiring performances on and on, I mean, I think that the trade won't look as bad in a couple weeks. It's just the fact that Antonio Gibson fell in drafts and Najee went up in drafts versus stock last year that makes this trade kind of look really lopsided on that end of the spectrum. But I feel like that there is a scenario where Najee just never gains his footing, and with Pickett at quarterback, maybe vulching some touchdowns. Like, I don't know. It remains to be seen. And I think with the Eagles offense and Amari Cooper, or I should say Devontae Smith first, but I think that Amari Cooper late season value is higher than Devontae Smith's. He's the clear wide receiver 1 in Cleveland. And I think they both have had very boom and bust weeks so far. I mean, they got to be similar in their position ranks at this point, but this is a big wait and see one. And it's Najee Harris name value is something that obviously is going to shock people when you hear him in the trade.
Yeah, the first big splash of the year, and I guess we're just going to have to wait and see how this one turns out for both of them. Let's kind of roll in to our week 4 recap for this past week. You know, first up, we had our game of the week. Vertz and Lang and the Piss Puppies stay undefeated, beating Lang 133-111. Some big contributors throughout this game were Debo had 23. Josh Reynolds actually had 21 on the Lions with Amon-Ra out. Lang made a good play there, but obviously it didn't work out a lot. You know, this was a good game. Nothing really too inspiring in terms of players doing well, but.
Yeah, I mean, Amari Cooper, who we just mentioned, 1.9. Devontae's done that this year too. So that's where, like, I was getting at. I think this game was really close, and obviously Debo kind of just made it an official win on Monday night. So, I mean, tough for Lang having Amon-Ra out, but I think he's got to be at least happy with 2-2 here.
Amari Cooper only had 1.9.
Yeah.
I don't know how Vertz did it.
I mean, the week before he had 25.
I mean, the thing is, I mean, nobody scores points against Vertz. Look at his points allowed.
Well, that's his points for, if we're talking to Amari Cooper.
Yeah. Oh, I know. But Zach mentioned how doesn't know how Vertz did it. It's like nobody's scoring against him.
I think he's more still in shock as I'm looking at him right now over this trade and how he somehow got Najee and Devontae Smith for the package that he did. So,
you know, I want to leak a little inside information here. I think the reason why Zach is a little shook about this deal is because one of the people hitting Joel's line was the man in this call not named Adam or Dylan. And I know what the trade was. I'm not going to say what it was, but this man, the things he was saying to Joel was absurd.
So, Zach, do you care to share?
No, my organization is dependent on integrity. We don't share trade partners with other organizations. Joel is apparently does. So that's good to know moving forward.
Oh God, just relax. I mean, I just don't want you to win the league so bad. I'm going to just light this whole thing up and say the trade.
You can do that. I now know that Joel will do that. So that's good to know.
I will. Trade will
go through.
Let's keep it private.
All in all, game of the week records. I have yet to win one. Zach is still undefeated at 3-0. And with the loss from Booby this week, picking Lang, he falls to 1-2. So someone's got to catch Zabel right now. He's having a good year guessing and playing. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but it is what it is.
Just not betting against the piss puppies so far. That's pretty much it.
You know, now we've got a weird dynamic this week. Because our best game was also, quote, our worst game in terms of points scored and things that happened on the roster, and it involves our guest here today, Tyrol. And so, Berg, you got your first win. You beat Nick 110 to 108 with two zeros in your lineup.
Yeah, dude. 110 is a good score with two zeros, man. I'll tell you that.
If I'm going to butt in real quick, I was with Jordan. And we were literally dying laughing when Josh Jacobs was going off and Adam's freaking out about it because this game was so – this was the best game that has been so terrible in terms of fantasy performances I've ever seen in my years of fantasy football. Like, it was literally just laugh out loud, hysterical, just the dynamics of the matchup. Like, it just – it literally started on Thursday when Tua got hurt. He only had like 2 points.
Dude, yeah. It was a total roller coaster from Thursday through Monday night in the last drive of the game. It was a complete emotional roller coaster for me. Like, it was like, dude, for some reason, I mean, obviously you want to win really badly when you're 0-3 and just start getting out of this hole, but like, man, did I want to win this game so bad.
I mean, tell us about Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon.
Oh, my God, so obnoxious. I mean, it was like all the reports were saying, yeah, he's going to play. Like, I knew that it was going to be an earlier game on Sunday. And I went to a few clubs the night before and woke up in like a drunken stupor at like 10:45 a.m., first thing I do is log on to the app, see that. And then I start going through all the messages and people are flaming me. And I'm like, this is just not my year. It's just not my year.
Who's referring to as Kamara had 0 points and yeah, he was in
Kamara,
London.
Kamara having 0 points out in London early morning on Sunday, not in a state of mind to react, thinking everything's going to be okay. Certainly wasn't the case. I mean, dude, this league is so unforgiving. That's the thing. You make one assumption and it ends up being a mistake. It's like, you're fucked. So.
Oh, yeah. You made a play with the whole Goff play. You know, you talked about that earlier. I mean, dude had 33 points. I mean, I give you props for that. I mean,
he's the highest scoring quarterback, and they streamed him.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
Lions score.
What'd you say?
The Lions score points. They just don't win.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at Goff, first thing I saw, dude, was – well, first of all, if you look at the position ranks for Matt Stafford and Goff, I think it's like 26, and Goff was in the top 12. I'm like, oh, so Goff is on the waivers, and he's literally a starting quarterback in this league. Like, I'll give him a shot. There you go. I mean, he might be my guy.
And one thing that could have hurt you, and Nick said he took him out of his lineup, was it the morning of or shortly after, but Rashard Penny on his bench at 28. That could have definitely ruined your weekend, but.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that would have made it – it would have been lights out. You know, I would have stopped opening the app after that. Like
sitting 0-4, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Also, I do want to add real quick that Nick was pretty mad about this aspect of the whole game too, considering how close it actually ended up being. Devontae Parker's touchdown. I want to shed some clarity on this. So apparently everybody was freaking out as a Packer fan because the play clock literally hit zero and then reverted back to 40 seconds in the end zone. And the Patriots still ran the play and they ended up scoring. And the Packers defense like wasn't like ready because they thought that it was going to be a delay game. So from what I've heard is that the actual on-field official has a stopwatch with the clock on it. The clock operator in the stadium actually messed up and didn't have the timer set correctly. So the play was actually valid. It was just that the being at home and knowing where the play clock was as the defense, it threw them off thinking that the play wasn't going to count, even though the ref had it right on his watch. But in result, Devontae Parker had a touchdown and that basically gave Adam the win if you take it away, you know?
So there's one thing I'd like to highlight there is, all in all, was it valid?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, the win's the win. I mean, it counts and it works. So.
Yeah. Did you know?
All in all.
Yeah. Sorry. Last thing. I know we got to keep moving, but did you know that Nick, he messaged me this. He started the league last year 6-1 or 6-0 or something. And he ended up not making the playoffs.
Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry.
Anything can happen in this league, boys. And for all my 1-3 guys out there, it's not over.
Well, you just made another guy 1-3 to give us a 4-way tie for last. So we did our jobs this week. We'll get into my game later. But Reed played Levi over this weekend. Reed won 133-126. I was going to make this the best game. It was a good game, but like whatever happened in that previous game was just unbelievable, right? Some highlights here. Justin Jefferson back on track with 31. Higgins had 25. And then running back for Levi, who was supposed to be really good. We talked about it. Javonte Williams tore his ACL. One, where does he go from here? And I'm like, we can just bring it up now. You know, where does Melvin Gordon go? Because he's actually fumbled the ball all four games this year, once in every game.
I mean, it's just tough. These losing a guy for a season that high in the draft is, you really get tested as a manager. You really got to start figuring it out. You got to come up with something that's going to work in replacement of that. You're not going to fully replace it, but you can at least hopefully make some moves. He might have to make some trades. We'll see what happens. But as it goes for Melvin Gordon, I think Melvin Gordon gets a boost in his stock for sure. But with the fumbling issues, and I think Boone looked really solid, they're filling. I mean, it's a kind of a wait and see, I guess. I mean, The Broncos also have not been a good team, so.
You'd think you can teach a guy not to fumble.
Especially when he was so good in previous years. I mean, I had him when he was on the Chargers my first year in the league or something like that, and he was putting up 25-plus point games all the time. Now that had to do with his receiving stats, but, like, still, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Levi, if you need running backs, I'm your guy.
I'm sure Zap can try to talk to you, too, and try to sell you a broken
quick plug.
Patterson.
What's up?
Nothing. This other game involving our manager, our manager, one of our hosts, he goes down for the first time. Liam beats Zavo 145-108. Damian Pierce has 25, and Mike Evans has 30 in his week back for Liam. He actually started two tight ends, too, and I didn't realize that until it looked later on this week. And then for Zach, Tyreek Hill 25 and Derrick Henry 23. Your running backs, though, are it's only 1 week, but they're coming down to earth a little bit considering where you drafted them and who they are. And I'm talking about Robinson and Pollard, because I was having a conversation with Nick. There's no way, maybe Pollard, but there's no way you could have expected James Robinson to be at where he's at this season so far.
I think we covered this last podcast. I don't know if you actually heard me. James Robinson is a good running back in this league. I think last year, pretty sure it was pretty close to 1,000 yards, something like that. He had a very respectable year. We also forgot to throw in Patterson had a touchdown before he went down, which hurts.
But no one said anything about Patterson.
Oh, we didn't get there yet. I was just reading the thing.
He had 9 points, so why would we bring him up? He had a touchdown, sure. So did a lot of other guys.
Because he's a huge focal point of this podcast so far. I think we definitely need to bring him up when we can.
I mean, if we're going to bring up that he got injured, we might as well bring up that he scored.
Yeah. Zach, I was going to name your team as one of the better teams in the league this year, and it probably would have stayed that way if Cordarrelle didn't get hurt.
Thank you for respect, putting some little bit respect on his name. No, like I said a little earlier in the podcast, Jones has got a good team. His running backs are legit. There was like a 3-minute span where I watched Deontay Johnson get a touchdown called back because of his foot on the line, which killed me. And then I saw Mark Andrews get overthrown by Lamar, which I almost cried. Classic. And then Derrick Henry got a touchdown called back because of holding at like the 3-yard line. It was one of the worst experiences of my life. I don't wish it upon anyone in the league.
Yeah, I do remember seeing all those plays happen because Joel said next week going, dude, Zach's team. And I was like, I don't want to fucking hear it. I just don't want to fucking hear it. But they all got called back. But the reason I put that you lost Patterson to injuries because he's trying to be nice and said, like, oh, you lost one of your players. I wasn't really going to try and bash him too much today. But it is what it is.
Yeah, it's not a good feeling, but luckily it's a minor injury. If it was Javonte Williams, I would not be okay. If it was a Javonte Williams injury, I would not.
But one last question before we move on, like, to just be as blunt as possible. Like, do you, with Travis Etienne having all this hype around him, did you genuinely think that he was going to be better than Travis Etienne the whole season?
No, I never thought that. I just thought James Robinson shouldn't have fell to round 8 or 9 or whatever it was. And he had very respectable year last year, and he was on Jordan's team. And I was always, every once in a while, hitting up Jordan for him. I liked him. And he's young. He's a pretty good runner of the football if you watch him play.
One thing I need to add about Williams' team, Damian Pierce, this is back-to-back weeks now that he's put in really good performances. And I said I liked that pick during the draft. It looks shaky to start the year with Rex Burkhead getting a lot of work, but they're definitely starting to give him the ball, and he's definitely starting to do really good and positive things with it. So his running back position is great. I mean, Saquon's that league winner quality pick, even as a second rounder. Like, he's back, and the Giants are using him in every way they should. There's no, like, Dable knows what he's doing with him. Williams definitely got a roster that nobody expected coming into the year.
Is Mike Evans back?
Yep.
Yeah, 30.
This whole Damian Pierce thing is actually kind of eye opening for me looking at it right now, because I mean, as a rookie, you got to think that they're just going to use him more and more.
I'm pretty sure he was a 4th-round pick in that real NFL draft.
Yeah. Yeah, great, great pick, Jones. I mean,
well, after getting a lot of hate from the league, you know, Zach had for sure vocalized it that if we think Vert is being loud right now, I wonder what happens when Jones, if he starts to pull some of these games out and is at the top of the league here in a few weeks. But another one of our hosts played against Joel, ended up beating him 164 to 134. That's booby one. So Jamal Williams at 23, and he's going to keep getting touches as long as DeAndre Swift is out. And I think that could have possibly skewed his draft tactic a little bit. But he left J.K. Dobbins on his bench at 22. Probably wouldn't have helped. You know, and then Booby, you got some of your life back in CMC, finding the end zone, 25 points there. And then kind of the anomaly of the day, Hockenson with 40 points on the Lions. So Goff-Hockenson connection definitely ramping up here.
I mean, just think about what this game looks like if Hockenson puts up a pedestrian week.
Right?
I mean, Lamar didn't really play well for me. I had both my flexes at receiver had pretty bad weeks considering what they've been doing. Yeah, I mean, I was ready to trade for a tight end. I was really worried about that position. And not saying that you expect this to ever happen again, it won't. But just seeing Hockenson do that just kind of revitalized me and thinking about his abilities. And he's been getting the targets. They just haven't turned into much. And I feel comfortable with them moving forward.
I will say Hockenson has the skill to be good. I've seen it because I'm just watching him throughout the years and point production he's had past years. He can do things like this, maybe not 40, but definitely be a solid top 4 or 5 tight end in the league. But something I found interesting, I saw this kind of stat later, was Tyler Higbee on the Rams. This year, he has the most catches without a touchdown in the NFL. Just kind of a weird stat that I saw. I think he's tied with Tyler Lockett. So I thought that was kind of cool. But in terms back to Jamal Williams, do you think him playing had a skewed view on Joel's trade he made with Vertz?
Probably. I mean, even with DeAndre playing this year, he's been an end zone magnet, and they've been using him in goal line situations. So, like, I think just with that offense, how much they're on the field, how much they're scoring, I think just anybody with a Lions player is feeling good about having them in their lineup at this point.
100%. In our last game to talk about this last week, I got my first win over Jordan, who many think has got a very good team in this league. I'm not disagreeing with them, but he also record-wise stands at 1-3 now too. So I won 172 to 125. I'm going to let you guys kind of talk a little bit first kind of for Jordan because he's not here. I tried to get him to send the recording in, but dude doesn't want to open the app much nowadays, let alone talk about it because he feels like he's getting screwed over. So I'll let you guys talk first.
Jordan actually sent in a clip that we've inserted here to hear his side of the story before we hear from Booby and Zach. So here it is.
I only get a minute, so you're not going to hear nearly all my thoughts. What kept ringing through my head on Sunday was just that 11 guys, all 11 of you, need to hope and pray that this is the case all year. I'm going to be hard to stand at some point. Top 4, I believe, in PF, and then, you know, obviously the wide gap in PA. If there is any sort of regression to the mean, you know, there's good things coming for the Golden Stallions. If I were you, I'd hope this continues. I know it won't. I'm the best out there. I'm the deepest out there. All I need is a few breaks. You don't want those breaks to come.
Yeah, it'd be neglect not to mention the start of the year Jordan's had with his opponents. I don't think anybody's put up 150 or lower, I should say, than 150 on him, which that's just crazy. I understand the frustration, but it is fantasy football. It sucks. things like this happen. But yeah, I mean, looking at his day, like, I mean, his team still had a respectable day. Like, Booby's been great. Hurts should have had more points than he did. Chubb's still arguably one of the best running backs in fantasy. I mean, he is, but I know I was doubtful on him going into the year. But, I mean, Mitch, you just had a monster week. You led the league in points. So, I mean, what can
Dude, it's like you look at this matchup, and it's just two well-rounded teams, deep benches, guys that put up points. I mean, look at Jordan's bench. Jerry Judy with 15, Dotson with 13, McKenzie with 12.1. Like, those are all viable. Like you could have probably played this. I mean, outscored Kirk, outscored Connor. So, you know, I'm not saying I would have made those decisions, but he had some points on his bench that he could have had in there. And he's got a deep team, man. And you both put up points. So it's like, yeah, going into this week, it was a great matchup in general. And I think I know you guys are going to end better than you started. So
I know Zach likes to put a lot of slander, you know, on my team. I will say Clyde has been an anomaly. No one expected that from him, not even me. I was kind of expecting to get 10 points a game from him as a streamer pick, but he's actually doing very well. But, I mean, finally, Eckler kind of showed up to the ballpark and ended up putting up a big week at 34. And to kind of touch on the Hurts stuff, like, I was watching the game, and it pops up on Red Zone, especially late in the game. Like, dudes were dropping passes. Thank God for the weather, it was a factor, but I mean, he should have had at least probably two more touchdowns that were dropped. So thankful for it. I do think Jalen Hurts is a very good fantasy player and NFL player. But Jonathan Taylor's been really kind of underwhelming this season so far.
Yeah,
I was just about to get to that. Jonathan Taylor gets touches, the production's not there. I don't know if it's the offensive line falling apart, but if I'm Krieger, I'd be pretty upset. The first overall pick in the draft, I mean. Dude's averaging like 12 points, and I know he took Connor pretty high. He went running back crazy, and he's averaging 10 points. I mean, at some point, look for Krieger to trade some running backs to people who need them for a receiver. I mean, that's pathetic. Like, the fact that Booty Sanders, shout out to Scherf, is outperforming, like, Jonathan Taylor, sounds fake. But we'll see what Krieger does managing-wise. Everyone's been praising him in this podcast so far, so I'm gonna keep an eye on that.
Good point.
Do you have anything to say regarding my back-to-back good weeks, or is it still a fluke to you, Zabo?
No. I think you have a solid team. I do think your receivers suck. Not to say like they're not good at football, because I love Hollywood. I think you can agree the Broncos with Cortland Sutton. Like, I just don't think the Broncos are good. And who knows if Melvin Gordon will turn out to work out. I just don't like the Broncos. So it's kind of like some of the, like, players you have on certain teams just don't excite me. And, like, when Hopkins comes back, who knows if Brown can keep it up. That's where I'm looking at it. I'm looking long-term here. I like that you got Pitts over Knox, I will say. The whole Clyde thing, I don't know what that is. So I'll just ride it, I guess.
Dude, you got him in the seventh round.
Yeah.
It's insane.
And like look at this. This is what I'm looking at for this receivers-wise. I'm agreeing with you with Hollywood. The production's probably going to drop a little bit when D-Hop does come back. However, with the Cortland Sutton thing, I mean, who was throwing the ball to Cortland Sutton last year?
Teddy.
I mean, he's not very good. And Russell Wilson has not been very good this year, but the dude catches the football. And I was a non-believer really all of last year until like late. And then when I kind of saw him on the board, you know, I really do love Jerry Judy, and he obviously had a touchdown this past week too. But it's kind of one of those things that I can't really explain. I'm not really like too high on Cortland Sutton, but I do think he's a good player. And he just, as of now, is catching the football, and I'm going to keep riding it as long as I can. So.
Yeah.
So that is our week 4 breakdown. You know, looking at the league, our top performers thus far, Vert's on top at 4-0. And then Zach and Booby are both at 3-1. So we'll take a look at that as the year goes on in terms of who's winning divisions, who's going to be in lower end playoff games, and who's going to be fighting for a playoff spot. All right. But now we've got kind of like a more interesting and intriguing topic here. And a lot of it includes our league leader as of now, who's 4-0, Matthew Wirtz. He is 4-0. Okay. And his voice, he's got a big one right now. And I just can't wait to see if someone eventually tops him to just kind of knock him down, because in the chat, people have been trying to knock him down all season, right? And the first thing that I want to point out is with our guest here is Wirtz, you know, was chirping that like Burke's complaining about hurt players, and Wirtz is saying some out of pocket things to basically stop complaining. It happens to everybody. Mm-hmm. That's just like the most basic of his comments this week.
Yeah. You know, it's expected when you're complaining. I totally get it. When you're complaining about injuries, you know, none of this is my fault, blah, blah, blah. So I get the comment. I get where it's coming from. But, I mean, I think from my standpoint, the only thing that I was hoping would get acknowledged, and probably is some, you know, false hope considering this is a non-forgiving league, and, you know, we really don't give a shit about any of our trials and tribulations. But was that I'm looking back, I can't think of a harder hit injury team to start the first four games. Like, we're talking four out of the first five draft picks. I'm wavering guys. And then the guys that I waver are getting injured. It's like I'm going to the waivers twice to fill a position. For my first rounders, or for my first few rounders, like, I just haven't seen it before. But thankfully, you know, I'll stop complaining just because, you know, got my first win, which is huge and only upside from here. But thankfully, none of my guys are out for the season yet. So I haven't experienced that yet.
I will say, obviously, people, when they hear this, are probably going to bring up their experiences with super injury plagued seasons or starts.
Yep.
I'm going to bring up mine. I mean, the year I lost the league, five players tore their ACL on my team. Five season ending knee injuries to one team. What do you expect?
Yeah, it's tough.
Wirtz is going to tell you to manage better. And, you know, he's been on his high horse. He actually wants to, if he wins the league, tattoo on the face of the loser, you know, his package, his nuts and bolts on someone's face. So he's just being reckless. I mean, he's saying things out of pocket, but people are saying it back to him, right? Like, I have no problem admitting, like, I'm not afraid of his garbage ass team. Like, I don't think it's that great.
Nobody is
praising him.
Nobody's afraid of his team. I mean, he's got it. Like, put up more than 133 points, and then somebody might be afraid of your team. But like, don't have the lowest PA in the league and be 4-0 and like think that, you know, you're God's gift to earth. That's all I'm saying. I mean, kudos to you. Never apologize. I wouldn't apologize. Don't do that. But man, if this comes back to bite you, it's going to be tough. You're just digging yourself a hole. That's all I'm saying.
You're going to ruffle feathers when you have the schedule he's had to start in terms of points against him. When you're talking as loud as he is.
Right.
And everybody's going to clap back. I've had a great start to my year. I know for a fact, without even looking at it, I've scored more than him, probably by a good margin. So like, yeah, I'm not going to let him just stunt his shit, acting like he's king of the league through 4 weeks when we know that there's 10 weeks left of the regular season before even the real, like, part of the league starts. Like, he's in a great spot to get there, but it's like, I just don't think he's got a lot of experience of being at the top. So I think that he's gonna let people know that he's on top right now, and that's fine.
I mean, he's saying things, quote, Krieg's talk is shit to me is irrelevant because I own him in this league, unquote, from Wirtz. I mean, are you kidding me? It's 4 weeks into the season.
Dude, that's actually a really funny comment, because if you look at their records, I mean, wouldn't he bring up their records? Like, he kind of does have Jordan's number.
And I think it pisses Jordan off, because then Jordan goes on to say real quick after, he's like, I don't care about any of you fucking guys at all.
I do want to play devil's advocate for the Piss Puppies just because of the trade. I mean, the dude got Najee Harris for Amari Cooper, and I can't stop saying it out loud. And I think his team's going to score a little bit more. Granted, his team has a
135.
I know. He's got a first-round running back now, though. I mean, KP comes in. I don't know why Dylan thinks he's going to be like Cam Newton with rushing touchdowns, but I think KP's more accurate. I think the Steelers' offense is going to look better than Mitchell Trubisky manning the helm. I didn't get a chance to comment on that yet, but I think that's a hot take. I mean, I think he's the first starting QB to get benched. I mean, that's not really a surprise, is it?
No, but that's crazy that you just acted like I compared Kenny Pickett to Cam Newton.
We're talking about words, touchdown vulture.
Dude, he puts words in your mouth.
He could be. We don't know yet.
I disagree. That's all I'm saying.
Send it Zach. Around. Puts words in your mouth, whereas like the vice versa, Berg will finesse you to say the words he wants you to say. You know, you got two different sides of the spectrum in this call right now, because I know for a fact, Berg, I'll say something and Zach's like, well, you said this, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, I didn't say that. Berg also goes on to say, you know, he's just going on everybody for every left, right reason, you know, with Doge being our insider of the league, he goes, Booby went to some hockey game. How the fuck is he supposed to be the insider of the league when he's at a hockey game on a Sunday?
I mean, I want everybody here to tell me that they watched every second of football on Sunday. Some people did.
We're talking about a drunk Vertz right now, just having the time of his life going undefeated. That's what we're talking about right now.
No doubt. Yeah,
shouldn't apologize.
You're right. But like, you know, according to Vertz, he says that there's a rebellion building that is backing him to be the league villain. And I think he's trying to take your spot, Zach, but you're still my villain. But people are encouraging him to light people up because he's 4-0 and they can't really say nothing to him because he's just going to be like, I'm 4-0.
Like, yeah, I mean,
I like how you refer to me as your villain because you can't beat me. At least in recent history, which is awesome. I hold that near and dear in my heart. But I'm all for the chirping, because pretty much once one person starts chirping a little bit more than others, they all of a sudden become the villain. I hope to hear a little bit more chirping from some quiet guys. That's what I'm looking for.
It's easy to chirp. It's easy to be the villain when you are in that 4-0 spot, especially when you're a guy that, you know, never maybe had the respect of some players in this league, and it's really easy to assume that role, but it's not easy to stay in that role. I mean, how fun is it with a bottom tier guy? Like, let's say Vertz was 0-4 right now. If he was talking this shit, he wouldn't be talking this shit. It's impossible to talk shit when you're 0-4. So I mean, it kind of is a Cinderella story that he's assuming this role at the moment that he's at the peak. So I'll get behind.
I mean, not to your point about being at the bottom, and it's hard, and I'm just going to ditto that because it's been hard, because my name's getting dragged through the mud for multiple different reasons, but it's getting dragged a lot. And part of it is this beef. Jack's like, there's no beef, I beat you, with Zach and other things. Me and Dylan about Lamar Jackson. How we can't call him out when he had a bad game, but yet I don't ever praise him when he has a good game. So I like, yeah, when you're at the bottom, like no one's going to listen to you. So when he comes down to earth a little bit, if he does, I think he's in for a rude awakening.
I mean, you're saying he's coming down to earth. All right. Yeah. He had a bad game. Let's acknowledge it. Who's still ranked number one at QB? Does that say something?
By 0.9 points, it looked, or 1.1, one of the two.
I mean, says something. He's still number one. And he had a bad game that you wanted to call out.
Bad. I just couldn't sit there and let it slide. You know, if we're going to call him, what was it? The picture.
Captain LaMarca.
Captain, we're going to start making.
I said that as a joke, though.
I know. But it's still just funny. People are making Captain LaMarca memes. I mean, we're going to have to start pulling up a lot of his big games and seeing where he's at. And, like, you know, I said some choice words about him. And Liam made a comment, you know, maybe it wasn't those choice words. It was still a hard-fought battle football-wise. And correct. I will give him that it was a hard-fought game. But if you're going to pay a guy what they say they're going to pay him, I don't care if it's the Bills in the regular season, whatever it is. At the end of that game, you got to find a way to be that guy to make that play.
I mean, I think the bigger thing to talk about right now is how Scherf hasn't changed his name to Captain LaMarca.
That's insane. I personally like my name as Sorry It's Jackson. I personally do like that, but there will be some consideration moving forward. I guess last thing I wanted to add about the whole Verts trash talking situation is, look, me and Zach are sitting here at 3-1 respectively. There's three teams above 500 in the league. We're 4 weeks in. I get that. Me and Zach have not been bombarding the chat with how good we've started and how good we feel about our teams. I think it comes with experience with being in this spot before. And like I said, Verts is going to hate everything I'm saying right now. Of course he will. And he'll have something to say about it, which is fine. But what I guess I'm getting at is that when you don't have a lot of experience being at the top, the chirping's going to start early. Just if it does happen and it does come back to bite you, don't give me some sorry ass excuses. Man up and understand that you may have started talking too early. We got 10 weeks of the regular season left. A lot can happen.
In these beginning weeks, because he was talking to me about a trade with Zeke. That's why I was talking to him. And he was drunk, but he goes, bridges were burned this weekend over multiple different things.
Who said that?
Bert said that. He said bridges were burned because the piss puppies are coming different. And he's that confident that he's going to be top dog when it's all said and done. And he likes being the villain. I'm curious to who these people are backing this rebellion of the piss puppies, or maybe they're just using it to shield their own rise to the top.
Yeah, I'm not.
I just love the chirping. I really do.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes, Zabo couldn't be happier, I think. I mean, every week he would just talk about chirping. So I still think your team is not what as good as it is, Zabo, but that's just my opinion, and you're just going to tell me 1-3, so you don't even have to say anything.
I mean, going undefeated in the month of September felt good. We just need to go 500 in October until Cordero comes back.
Yeah, dude. I mean, to Verts' defense, if I turn this around and I make the playoffs, I can't. I can imagine. I'll probably be unbearable. I'll be unbearable. Oh my God.
I mean, Verts was saying, I mean, I'm going to be honest. His three most hated players right now in the league are Booby, Berg, and Jordan.
Makes sense.
I don't even think that makes sense. Why is Booby on that list? Why is Jordan? Or I guess that makes Jordan and him are going at it, but why are you on that list?
I can't answer that question. I can only just transfer information unless he texts in the chat that that's not true. But, I mean, piss puppies are coming different this year. We don't know what's coming out of his mouth nowadays.
Where are you suggesting that there was behind-the-scenes trade talks, discussions that you're not willing to bring up, and that's why Verts is mad at Dylan?
No.
No.
I can confirm that's no. No.
So no. What's the reason?
I think there really is no reason to Verts' madness, but just to the point of, you know, for no reason, he's calling out Booby for going to a hockey game. And just it was
bad guys being bad guys.
He's profusely excited for me to ask Booby that on the pod this week. So I had to ask him.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, no, uh-huh. I just, maybe he views me as a threat. I don't know.
The confidence is what's killing him.
Berg, speaking of how you're going to be unbearable, I just always, each week on Tuesday, I always go and look at the projections of who's going to make the playoffs. Right now, you are the lowest at 19, and Verts is the third highest at 82. So you could use that as part of, if you make the playoffs and Verts somehow doesn't, that'd feel pretty good.
Yeah. The word that I'm going to continue to use to describe it would be, I will be unbearable. Unbearable is the word.
All right, yeah. So Lee got a little heated this week, and there was definitely some choice words that couldn't be said over this podcast, but people listening in the league definitely know what was said and whose names are getting dragged where and who's talking about who. And I'm sure there's other insider conversations happening in that dumbass fucking Champions League chat or whatever the hell is it, other league chats and things like that where you're talking about other players. So we encourage you to send information our way if you want to keep it confidential. We will for sure keep it confidential. However, we're going to wrap things up here. Talking league stands again, just to recap, Verts is 4-0. We've been knowing that. Zach and Booby are 3-1. And then we've got a new garbage bowl watch. I mean, me and Adam are still in there at 1-3, but the two newbies that are joining are Nick and Jordan. And with the two newbies, I'm curious with the guys that are on top in this call right now, out of those four, which one, if you had to, you're probably not going to because you think 1-3 teams are bad, are most likely to kind of get out of this situation and make the playoffs?
Go ahead, Sheriff.
Jordan. Pretty easy answer for me. So, we're talking 1-3 teams.
Yeah, I mean, I see where you're coming from, but I got to go Berg just because I like his running back situation a little better, which might come off as ridiculous because they're all, some of them are still questionable or not even playing. But I don't know. I just like what Berg's team is doing here. Coming up in a couple of weeks here, they're going to be healthy. I still believe in Kamara. He's always due to have those big games. And I just don't see a reason why Jonathan Taylor isn't performing. And I don't know what happened to James Conner, but I don't even know what he is. I don't know what he is. So, and I also don't think Tyler Conklin at tight end is going to win Jordan many games moving forward. I mean, he's tight end 8, so I'll shut up about it. But I like Berg's core a little better.
Is he really tight end 8?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I didn't know that. I saw his name when I was playing him. I'm like, this guy's no fucking good. I just didn't even look. So I guess that's good to know.
You think Jared Goff is QB5 in our league?
No.
I mean, I said it earlier. The Lions score points.
He's literally QB5 for this past week.
He's throwing for 4 touchdowns multiple times. I mean, you're getting Godwin back. Jordan's Jahan Dotson went down, so McLaurin's going to get a little bit more usage there. I mean, David Montgomery is the entire Bears organization. I think I saw Darnell Mooney on the waiver wire, and I laughed just because that organization's a joke. Like, I wouldn't want to have a Bear on my team, but if you didn't happen to have one, probably be David Montgomery.
Yeah. All right, so for this week's game of the week upcoming here for week number 5, we're going to go with – sorry, it's Jackson and Booby Sheriff's team against the commissioner and the Golden Stallions. They got 2 of the higher projected points per game. We've got one guy who's 3-1 and steady pace thus far. And we've got another guy that's just been hit by the points against bug, and it happens. But he needs this win. That's kind of why we're highlighting this from him. And it also has a chance to knock one of the higher guys down if Golden Stallions were to win. Otherwise, Booby, you could solidify your team with beating a good team that scores a lot of points.
Yeah, I mean, I know that we've done a host game of the week in the past, and we obviously make our picks. So it is given that I have to take my team. So mark me down there.
Yeah.
What about you, Berg? I want to hear Berg's opinion.
On the game of the week?
Yeah.
I think it's a no-brainer. I mean, I think it's going to be an awesome matchup. I mean, a lot like the
matchup this week with Mitch and Jordan this past week. I mean, it's just two teams that score a lot of points, and it's going to come down to which guys are just more consistent. You know, I mean, is
who's your pick? Who's your pick?
I'm going Scherf. I like Keenan Allen back. I like the matchups better with his running backs. Jonathan Taylor against the Broncos D, James Conner against Philadelphia D, and Jordan's flex. I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
Through this past week, through week four, their points for are almost identical. Like, we're talking about Scherf has him by 6 points out of at 556. I mean, like, this is so hard to call. It's kind of like you got to go on who's at, I just said consistency, but it's almost like who's going to have an explosive game. And looking at their teams, they both can do it. If I have to go one, it's probably going to be – I got to go with Bolden Stallions, man.
I love Hurts. I love Chubb. I don't know why Jonathan Taylor doesn't score, but he can start scoring any day of the week. It doesn't even matter because Miles Sanders puts up 30 now, so – I mean, it's like,
yeah,
the biggest thing for me is that Scherf's got the MVP, and that dude is special. He's averaging 30 points per game, even with a horseshit game of the week. Mitch will love to talk about it. I mean, you have a guy like that on your team, gonna win a lot of ball games.
Just to talk about something last week, Pat Mahomes played really good. That's all I want to say this past week.
All right, who's your pick, though?
I'm going to go with Jordan, and here's why. Nick Chubb, I don't think we talked about him enough. I had him. I really wanted him this past year, but I wanted Josh Allen, and I took a guy when I took him because I was hoping Josh Allen or Nick Chubb would fall because I know people kind of frowned upon him, but he's really good, and I just think he's going to run the ball. And with Jonathan Taylor being able to score at any point in time, I'm going to go there. I think your quarterback matchups are a toss-up. I think with Nick Chubb and Christian McCaffrey, it's kind of a toss-up. And the X factor here is just Jonathan Taylor. And with them playing Denver, never not being very good, I'm going to lean that way.
I mean, Booby, how do you feel about Hockenson putting up 40?
I did. I mean, I touched on it. I think that I was out on him like before this week. I was going to make a move for a tight end here moving forward. But it, like I said, it revitalized me to realize that there's still some untapped points in him that he could be putting up more than he did the first 3 weeks. And I just think that the ability is there. The targets have been there. The production didn't come till this week. And obviously he had a bigger week because of the skill players that were out for the Lions. But I mean, I feel confident with him moving forward. I mean, I'm not expecting Kelsey or Andrews numbers, but if he can just get me 10, it's all I care about.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this has been a lot of fun. If you're still here with us, I know this is going to be a long episode, but if you're still here with us, we did this over Zoom for the first time. And I pray to God that the audio works because this was a lot of fun seeing the guys' faces, conversations that happened. I think were a lot more meaningful and in depth because we could see each other and kind of read emotions. So I've had fun. Berg, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me, man. And honestly, I was going to say just to end it off here that I love what's happening here. I love the direction this league's going, and this podcast has really changed things around. I tell people at work that we're doing things like this and they think it's hilarious. And I don't know who are these listeners, but the fact that we have more than 12 guys listening to this podcast is also hilarious to me. So I mean, yeah, I love what we're doing here, and I just hope that we keep this going because this is awesome. Thanks for having me on.
Shout out to Ty Royal. Thanks for coming, Berg.
Berg, always a pleasure.
All right, let's roll the outro song.